We all want to be our best. So whether you are involved in a mental or physical challenge, you want to come out ahead. It's difficult to stay motivated, however, once your endurance is tested. But you can count on being much more successful in your endeavor if you prepare yourself for the road ahead. It's important to remember that every challenge has both a mental and physical component. And the key to controlling the outcome is controlling both your mental and physical stress levels. We may assume that someone's peak mental and physical performance would happen at an early age, but nothing could be further from the truth. It is possible to be at the top of your game at any age, as long as you continue to push yourself to be better and take the best possible care of your mind and body. If you maintain your focus, then you will get better with age, instead of taking for granted the seemingly endless supply of youthful energy. Let's talk about reaching your full potential. Remember to always do your best. Think positive. Some people look at challenges as being discouraging or negative. I want to tell you that a challenge is an opportunity to step up to the plate and to show just how well you can do. And this is when positive thinking is most crucial in order to power through until you reach success. Learn as much as you can about your challenge. In order to reach the state where you're operating in the zone, you must do everything you can to master your skills. Mastering your skills gives you the confidence that you'll draw upon later in the challenge. Push yourself consistently. Train yourself to get maximum results. Let's talk about the power of stress. Now, stress is very powerful, and it can take a toll on your performance. You must learn to build resilience against the negative toll that stress can take on your physical and mental health. Many athletes develop a very sensitive stress detection system. They take notice of all the subtle physical and mental changes they experience when they encounter a stressful situation. Once you notice these changes in your own system, then you can gain control when you feel these warning signs in your own body and mind. Once you are familiar with the symptoms of stress, you can plan your performance around when you know your stress level will peak. Let's talk about bad stress and good stress. Stress is taking a negative toll on your system when you start to feel hyperactive and not simply energized. While some stress can often help you prioritize and concentrate, bad stress prevents you from focusing on anything productive. Bad stress creates mental confusion, while good stress creates mental clarity. Good stress is a combination of adrenaline and preparation. Good stress is motivating, and it has no negative side effects. Let's talk about peak mental performance. Train your mind just as you would train your body. Train your mind to be quiet. Your mind operates best when it is in a state of minimal self-interference. Don't get caught up in all the possibilities of what can go wrong. Simply focus on your confidence and what you know you can master. Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about how important your mental attitude is to your peak performance. You know, having a good, positive mental attitude can make all the difference in bringing out and unleashing the true peak performance potential that you have inside you. So let's talk specifically about reframing and changing your mind. Reframing is a simple strategy that optimists use to find the positive meaning in things. It's a matter of turning what if into why not. For example, in seemingly negative situations, the positive thinker will find a positive meaning. By choosing to view adversity in a positive light, you will be able to gain some control over the negativity and eventually banish it from your life. By doing this, you will reduce your feelings of stress and anxiety toward the situation, and also prevent those negative situations from coming into contact with other parts of your life. Not only that, but you will have motivation to be able to overcome any problem, even if at first it may seem like no positive outcome is possible. Peak performers who use positive thinking use this method of reframing in many different ways. It means exactly what it sounds, putting the picture in a completely different frame in order to see it more positively. Walk into any art gallery or museum, and you can see examples of reframing all around you. The pictures and the portraits are all framed. The next time you visit one of these places, try to imagine what the picture would look like with a different frame around it. Different types of frames pick out different nuances in the picture. Some may highlight the artist's use of color. Others may highlight the mood of the overall picture. What is really interesting about this is that often, just by changing the frame, you really appreciate the original frame. On a smaller scale, you can try this with the pictures in your home. Many of us have framed photographs of family or loved ones scattered around the living room. Swap some of the pictures around into different frames to see what effect it has. The way you feel about the pictures may change depending on how you frame them, but why is this? The picture stays the same. Nothing changes there, but the whole mood and effect that the picture has can change drastically. Often it is only by attempting to alter the original frame of reference to a situation that we appreciate how the original frame has hindered our ability to deal with it. For reframing, there are two main stages, the first of which is to understand the original frame. The next step is to create a different frame, and that can be quite a difficult thing to do. However, for the positive thinker, interested in bringing out peak performance, this process of reframing comes perfectly naturally. You might feel quite disappointed that you missed the bus to work this morning, but the positive thinker will put this into a positive frame by realizing the opportunity now exists for them to cycle or walk instead. What you are in effect doing here is taking the negative situation and reframing it, thereby realizing the opportunities that surround you and seeing things in a different way. I once knew someone who had been laid off from his job. I offered him my condolences, but he didn't seem all that perturbed. When I asked why, he told me that he now had a chance to pursue some hobbies that he was not able to pursue before, and also to spend more time with his children. He had taken the bad situation, being laid off from work, and reframed it. As soon as he did this, he realized that it offered him more opportunities, and he was actually a lot better off this way. Sometimes, however, other reframing techniques may be called into play. It may well be pertinent, for example, to try to make sense of the problem by understanding what caused it in the first place. If the person I just described, who had been laid off from work, had completely failed to understand the reason why, as it happens in this case, the person was laid off due to company cutbacks rather than anything he had directly been responsible for, then it would have been difficult to reframe the situation so that he could prevent it from happening again. So reframing is a great technique of the positive thinker who's interested in getting to peak performance when it comes to minor setbacks and problems that naturally occur in all of our lives. Although it's a quite straightforward and relatively easy thing to do it naturally without thinking does take a bit of time and practice. However, after you've employed this technique for a period of time, you'll find that it does indeed come naturally. Also, reframing works when something big happens to us, too. Coping with something that can be potentially devastating, such as the loss of a loved one or a serious illness, can have the effects diminished by the power of reframing the context. It will often appear that the silver lining or the positive side can't be found, especially when trying to cope with something that can potentially have such devastating effects on your life. But seeing the experience as part of the bigger picture can seriously reduce the impact of the psychological trauma. Changing the frame that surrounds a particularly nasty piece of news or experience will not make the picture seem rosy and fine, but it will aid you in accepting or coming to terms with the loss. And this in turn will help you maintain your peak performance. Let's talk about keeping it fresh. So far, we have learned quite a bit about motivation and peak performance and the general theme of optimism and the general effects it can have on your life. I want you to know that when you strive for your best, it can also positively affect the lives of those around you. Whether you're able to reach your peak performance levels consistently will, of course, depend on you. And that's what it really comes down to, you. Just by listening to me up to this point, you have demonstrated a desire to improve the parts of your life that you may have neglected, or maybe have just simply not been in the forefront of your mind until now. I want us now to look a little bit closer at realities of life and how they affect us. Your peak performance can be affected by the realities of life, and you can fall into a drudging routine that offers little or no fulfillment. And when this happens, your peak performances may seem distant, and your motivation to reach them may seem dim. So let's discuss what a positive person interested in peak performance can do to come up for air, so to speak. In the world of positive thinking, many people become more obsessed with the subject of thinking about thinking, and then that becomes the end-all, rather than the happier and fulfilled life that they are looking for in the first place. Sometimes we need to just stop and evaluate exactly what it is we are doing, to take a deep breath and look at ourselves. Positive thinking is not just an inward-looking situation, but sometimes we get caught up in the fact that we must produce something positive. It seems completely ridiculous that the most developed countries in the world also have the highest number of cases of depression. In order to avoid this yourself, you have to put together 10 steps to keep thinking fresh in order to give your happiness levels that extra boost when needed. And this can power you through those levels when you need peak performance, but you're feeling that you're not quite up to par. Number one is create your own dimmer switch. Insight and motivation is not something that you can idle towards. It must come from within. The fire of motivation always burns, and we must keep it fueled in order for it to burn brightly. Paradoxically, constantly forcing your brain to come up with a continuous supply of new solutions can be very counterproductive. The human brain is at its least playful and imaginative when forced into a corner. Sometimes simply turning down the lights can serve as a declutter for the brain. Compare your brain to a bar at closing time. At the end of the day, it's full of debris from the stream of customers and thoughts of the day, your thoughts, and it's not particularly clean. When the bar closes, however, the lights go down, the dimmer switch is employed, and the cleaners come in. In a short time, the bar is clean and ready for the next influx of customers. Consciously disengaging from a problem that you can't see the way out of turns the brain back to a more relaxed state, making thinking clearer and easier. I'm not talking about turning the lights off altogether here. If you did that, the cleaners wouldn't be able to do their work. Sometimes positive thinkers need to try not to think. It is when they are not directly thinking about a problem that quite often the breakthrough they have been searching for appears. A natural positive thinker shouldn't have to be vigorously wrestling with challenges 100% of the time. Studies have shown once again, in ways that we're only beginning to understand, that our brain continues to function when we are not aware of it doing so. If, like me, you're aware of lots of different thought patterns throughout the day, a good way to employ the dimmer switch is to plan ahead. Think of the times during the day that require little thought, and tell yourself at these times that you will close the bar and let the cleaners come in for a quick tidy-up, for example, in the shower or while cooking a meal. To demonstrate how it works, how many times have you been puzzling over a conundrum like a crossword clue and given up and gone to bed? And then, at 4 a.m., suddenly sat upright, wide awake, with the answer. You weren't thinking about it, but because you had started to get rid of the clutter that had accumulated in your brain, the path to the answer was easy. You reached your peak performance by not trying at all. Isn't that interesting? Number two, change the routine. I've spoken about routines and how they can stagnate the positive thinker. If every day follows a distinct pattern, then you will fall into a pattern. You don't have to think about it, and therefore your mind becomes numb. You don't see the opportunities that go past your window, and your mind becomes a little lazy because you no longer have to exercise your mind by trying to get around difficult problems. If you change your routine, however, just imagine what thoughts and ideas you could come up with. A new way of doing something ordinarily can lead to a new way of doing something else, and so on and so on. What would have been a very ordinary humdrum day becomes something quite extraordinary. How many times have you finished doing whatever it is you do for the day and said to someone, "I had an extraordinary idea today"? Usually this only happens when something beyond our control happens to us, like a traffic accident outside the office or a phone call from a long-forgotten friend. But what if the level of extraordinariness was within your control? What would you have to do to make every day extraordinary? When you answer that question, you will have another clue as to how to increase your peak performance consistently. Number three, identifying the problem. Often we can try to reframe things and look for new ways of doing things and search for opportunities and situations only to find that we haven't really solved the problem that existed in the first place. This is really falling into a trap that a lot of positive thinkers find themselves in, thinking so hard about the problem that the answers pass us by. In order to solve a problem, we must first identify exactly what the problem is. When it comes to identifying the problem, I'm often reminded of Roger Van Oeck's story of the concert pianist, who, when asked to give a concert, remarked that the piano was not good enough and refused to play until he had gotten it fixed. A few weeks later, she was called and told that the piano was now fine. When she arrived, she found that it was still very far out of tune. So she said that they still hadn't fixed it, only to be told by the concert manager that yes, they had. It was painted last week. If you are thinking about solving a problem, you need to make sure that you're solving the right problem. Number four, the other point of view. When we set goals and targets for ourselves, we naturally get the confidence boost that comes with them. When the path to our target is clearly delineated, we can see exactly where we are going, and that helps us to get there. Setting our goals and targets is a vital part of positive thinking. If you are thinking about a particular problem or situation and trying to come up with a new solution, then it is also very important to understand that others involved will have done the same thing too. For example, if you're going into a business meeting with a set of very clear goals for that meeting, it would be unreasonable to assume that the others in the meeting have not done exactly the same thing. Often, for the positive thinker interested in reaching his peak performance consistently, he can easily miss this. We can get caught up in the influx of new opportunities that present themselves all around us, and we fail to realize those opportunities and how they impact others. By considering the goal and the targets of others, then you are opening yourself up to even more ideas and opportunities. Number 5, the assumption game. Picture the scene. You have just bought a new piece of electrical equipment. You're really pleased with your purchase. You've been wanting to use it for a while. You get it home, take it out of the box, and familiarize yourself with the instruction manual. You switch it on, nothing happens. You reread the instruction manual. You fiddle with all the buttons, but still nothing happens. Only after an exasperating, seemingly endless period of time, you finally realize that you have forgotten to plug it in. This happens to all of us. We assume the product we have bought must be faulty. As far as we are concerned, we have done everything right, therefore it must be someone else's fault. We have gathered as much information as we can from the instructional manual, and we feel perturbed that we still can't find the fault. Making these assumptions about the way things are vastly reduces the possibilities of the way things could be. The new electrical gadget must be faulty because we cannot see the problem, when in reality the problem is us, not the gadget. When faced with crises, it is harder to define your problems and discover the range of options you have. What happens here is that when faced with anxiety or stress, the human brain has difficulty thinking clearly. Therefore, the ideas and opportunities that you are searching for can seem very far away. It has happened to all of us. And recent studies have shown that in times of high stress, the human brain is actually 60% less dynamic and open than it is at rest. Therefore, it's little wonder that many of us, when faced with stressful or difficult situations, see only two dimensions. How many times have you been faced with a difficult situation and made a decision that turned out to be not quite right? We all have at one time or another, and after the event, we all look back and say, "If I had that to do again, I would do it differently." It's easy to look back on an event after it occurred. It's more difficult to make those right decisions when actually faced with them. The trick is to open your mind to those opportunities that are available to you at the time. The next time you're faced with a stressful or anxious situation, picture yourself in the future, looking back at the situation, and then ask yourself again, "What should I do?" Number 6, be confused. Tom Peters says, "Anyone who isn't confused isn't thinking clearly." In our everyday routine, getting up, going to work, arriving home, etc., are all within our own comfort zone. The things we do and our surroundings are comfortable, and often we can't see a way to change them. When this happens, it's usually because we're scared to go outside the comfort zone. Fear of the unknown is a lot more common than you might think, and we're all guilty of it at one time or another. The trick is to tell yourself that it's okay to be confused. If you're faced with a situation that you cannot see the outcome of, don't be afraid. Constantly asking yourself questions is the domain of the positive thinker. And more often than not, we don't know the answers to them. A key word to remember when questioning yourself or your actions is a very simple what. What if I tried this? Where would I go with this? What's new about this? What could I have missed? What could happen? What don't I know? Where are the gaps in my knowledge? What am I assuming here? Or alternatively, the question who. Research shows that people associate themselves with other people who have similar viewpoints to their own. Your friends, for example, will probably have a lot in common with you. Otherwise, it's unlikely that you would be friends with them in the first place. Try spending some time with people who have different views. That's why I say the word who works really well. Who are you talking to? Again, you're opening up new worlds of opportunities and trying to tap into other people's minds all around you who also have their own ideas. You may not wholeheartedly agree with different principles and tastes, but at the same time, you'll be giving yourself new perspectives. Number 7. Surely that can't be possible. What seems impossible now may be common practice 100 years from now. It really wasn't all that long ago that everyone believed that the world was flat. And what if you sailed in one direction long enough? You would simply sail off the edge of the world, they believed. What if you went back to the year 1850, for example, and spoke to someone? What reaction do you think you would get if you told them that after the year 2000, the human race would be flying all over the world as easily as they walked down the street? Or told them that you could sit in your kitchen and send a message to someone on the other end of the world instantaneously? Perhaps their reaction would be even more dramatic if you told them that by the year 2000, Western Europe had been enjoying relative peace for over 60 years. Now put yourself in the shoes of the person from the past you're speaking to. What if someone from the future came back and visited you? What would you think they might say that would seem impossible to you? A computer chip that lives inside your head, for example, would that seem impossible to you? Someone somewhere is working on that right now. So who's to say that it won't become perfectly normal and perfectly acceptable 100 years from now? All it takes is someone to have an idea and then to put the idea into practice in the face of those around them who say it can't be done. Now, think of your own life and what you think of that can't be done. If you think reaching your peak performance on a consistent basis is impossible, it will be. And it can't be done. And can't be done turns into won't be done. Think back to yourself 10 years ago. Did you think that you would be here? What about 20 years from now? What would you like to be doing? What about 10 years, 5, next week? How would you like to be performing? And how do you think about your possibilities? Now, what is it that's stopping you? Sure, if you're 70 years old right now, you might think that winning the New York Marathon in 20 years might be a little unrealistic, but it could happen. What may seem like fantasy right now is tomorrow's norm, and all because someone had the idea to put it to the test and decide that it was really possible after all. Number 8, concentrate on the positive. It always amazes me when I hear on the television or read the newspaper that recent peace talks between warring nations break down because they put so much emphasis on the disagreements that they were having. I often wonder, instead of holding their ground over the disagreements, they would concentrate on what they agreed on. What would happen if they concentrated on the positives rather than the negatives? This happens to all of us and can be a barrier to positive thinking. We look at situations as objectively as we can, and yet we all see the bad parts. We all see faults in situations, and then we focus on them, when sometimes the answer to the problem lies in being able to see the good points. What we should be doing is focusing on the good points and leaving out the bad points. Number 9, the meaning of life. Finding meaning in your life is a lot easier said than done. However, if you do have meaning in your life, the sense of fulfillment acts as a strong and powerful resource for you and helps you thrive when in tough times. So think about exactly what the meaning of your life is and how happy you are with this. And now, the million-dollar question, what do you need to change in order to make it more meaningful? People often find that work takes over their lives. How many people do you know that have concentrated on their careers throughout their lives at the expense of starting a family or traveling the world? We all need to develop something in our lives that stops work from completely taking over. We need somewhere to go mentally, to take time out when times get tough. So you probably didn't think this would be a lesson on changing your life, but I want to tell you that if you want to master your peak performance, it's important to clean up everything you possibly can in your thinking and your way of living your life. Which leads me to number 10, laugh. Too many people are far too serious the majority of the time. And when this happens, their mindset turns towards seriousness in every situation, no matter how frivolous the situation may be on the surface. How many times has it happened to you that when you're feeling at your most negative, someone has said something that completely broke the tension and made you laugh? How many times has it happened that when you were striving for your peak performance and really going for it yet falling short, someone made you laugh and realize how ridiculous it was that you were kind of beating your head against the wall? It allowed you to step back from the situation, didn't it? Reevaluate and start with renewed energy. If you have problems, there's nothing like a bit of good, honest fun to remind you that life is not about being serious 100% of the time. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves to keep our perspective humorous. A great example of being too serious comes from the writer C.W. Metcalf. He considers himself a humorobicist, that is, someone who studies humor. He was a photojournalist, and one day he was sent on an assignment to the children's ward of the local cancer hospital. All of the children there were terminally ill, and he, in his own words, felt very stressed on arriving. He took the situation very seriously, and he was therefore quite struck when entering by the amount of laughter and joy that seemed to surround the patients. As he stood there observing the environment, a little girl pulled on his trouser leg and inquired of him, "Do you want to sit down? You don't look so good." The little girl, despite her terrible circumstances, was able to think of others, while Mr. Metcalf, in his seriousness, was not. His life had lost all of the perspective he prided himself on, and he had become wrapped up in his own little world. Everything was serious. C.W. Metcalf realized, then and there, that something had to change. This story goes to show that often we completely fail to see what is all around us until there's a very real possibility that it might not be there anymore. This change in approach was born out of a eureka moment for C.W. Remember the example of sitting upright in bed at 4 a.m. with the answer to the crossword clue? But it doesn't always happen this way. For some people, this realization that they are taking things far too seriously happens over a much longer period of time, as long as you realize that something somewhere must change. A good trick to remember is to be able to laugh at ourselves. We must realize that we are not the center of the universe, that everything doesn't revolve around us. The ability to laugh at ourselves and our circumstances gives us a much more balanced view of the world. And if we are therefore able to walk into the children's unit of the local cancer hospital and be as positive as the people within it, then we are well on our way to thinking positively about the world in which we live. And this is an important step when trying to reach your peak performance consistently. So let's take a look at peak performance in terms of goal setting. You start with one goal and you stay focused on the goal for at least 30 days. If after 30 days you're doing well and getting closer to the desired outcome, you can start with a second goal. The simple rule is don't set a lot of goals at the same time. You won't achieve any. The key to goal setting is staying focused. It's impossible to focus on many goals at the same time. So let's start with the most important one. But you know what your most important goal is? Do you know the area in which you want to improve your peak performance the most? Well, that's what we're going to do right now, to figure out what you really want. The easiest way to find out what you really want is to ask yourself, specifically, ask your subconscious mind, the powerhouse of your intellect, to find out what you really want from life. And we'll use a brainstorming technique. Brainstorming is a little magical, because it removes all the limits that you've set for yourself, while at the same time exposing the secret desires you've kept tucked away. Don't skip this step. You may think that you know what you want, but don't take a chance on limiting yourself. You'll be surprised. Ask yourself, what do I want to have, be, and do in my life? Write down every thought that comes to your mind about what you want in your life. Don't think about whether you can do these things or whether you can have them. Just write them out as fast as you can. Don't even think about the word realistic. Each idea that comes to you will bring out other things. This is a very important exercise because if you're focusing on peak performance in something, you need to make sure that it's showing up on that list. Otherwise, this can be an important clue as to why maybe you haven't reached your peak performance yet. Each idea that comes to you will bring out other things. Write every thought down, even if it sounds silly or outlandish. The silliest one may lead to the most important one. So I don't want you to stop until you've exhausted your imagination. Just let the thoughts flow and write them down without qualification. This will be the most important step you've ever taken to becoming the person you want to be in life. And you didn't think you'd get that out of this program, did you? Peak Performance Program helping you become the person you want to be in life. But that's important to understanding motivation. This is the point in your life that you can exercise your greatest power, the power of choice. The choice as to whether you want to live your life by accident or make it the way you want it to be. You'll have thoughts about what you want to look like, how much money you want to make, what kind of mate you want to find, and what your career will be. You'll think about what kind of family you want to have, and what things you want to have, where you want to live, and what kind of house you want. When you're all done, take a break. So go ahead and do that right now as I'm silent. Make that list. Okay, so what have you done? You've just taken the most important step that you've ever taken to finding out what it is you're all about. This is the point in your life that you can exercise your greatest power, the power of choice. Now, I want you to take a break, stand and stretch. If you're not in a moving vehicle, you can do this. Go to the restroom if you need to. Take a walk. Pause the recording if you have to. But when you come back, we're going to figure out what is the most important goal for you. You'll need to feel refreshed to take on this new challenge. So how do you find your most important wish? Well, take a look at your completed list. This is your first honest-to-goodness wish list. What we have to do now is find out which one wish is the most important for you. If you want to get the peak performance out of something, you need to make sure, first of all, it's on the list, second of all, that it's really that important to you. Look at the first two wishes on your wish list and ask yourself, if I could have one of these wishes, which one would it be? Choose the one that is more important to you and cross off the second one. Then compare your chosen wish with your third item. Answer that same question again, and then whichever one is less important to you, cross it off, and so on. Repeat this process until you have one wish list. This way of selecting your most desired wish may seem odd to you, but believe me, if you think that you know where your priorities are, the final result might surprise you. It might show you why maybe you're lacking some power in getting to your peak performance. At the end, you'll have one wish that you want to achieve the most. So again, you're just taking your first wish and comparing it to the second one, and you're comparing the winner of that to the next one, the winner of that to the next one. You're going through this elimination process to get down to one. Step two is to develop an intense desire to achieve your goal. Have you ever failed to achieve your goals? Do you know the single most important reason why you couldn't reach them? The answer is simple. Because you didn't have a strong enough desire. Some may argue with that, but I did have a strong enough desire and I still didn't get there. Sorry, but if you didn't reach your goal, your desire was just not strong enough. So what is this intense desire? It's what keeps people working late and gets them up early. The desire dominates conversation, thinking, and actions. Take a moment and think about the goal that you've set for yourself. How committed are you to achieving this goal? Under what conditions would you give it up? Now, what if you wanted it so badly that you knew with absolute certainty that you would absolutely positively never give up? If you want something badly enough, then quitting is simply not an option. You find a way to make it happen, whatever it takes. So what is the intensity of your desire? And by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, the thing we're talking about that makes the difference is passion, the passion that you bring to what you're doing. There's a simple technique that will allow you to intensify your desire. This is going to help you get to your peak performance in what you actually want to do. I want you now, as I'm silent, to list all of the benefits you'll experience from reaching your goal. Identify exactly why you want to achieve this goal. List all of the ways that you will personally benefit. The more you write, the more details will pop into your mind, and the stronger your desire will become. Once the list gets past 20 or 30 benefits, your goal becomes unstoppable. You'll move toward your goal like a guided missile to its target, and you'll enjoy the process because you'll be focused on the positive rewards instead of the difficult tasks. So do this now as I am silent. For the third and final step, I want you to believe in yourself. I want you to believe and understand that you can achieve your goal. If you don't believe you can reach your goal, you won't. If there's any doubt in your mind that you can achieve something, you don't give it your all. In fact, you may very well just set it aside. In order to fully achieve anything, you must believe it is possible at a cellular level. Every single cell of your body must be sure that you can make it happen. There's one very simple technique that will evolve your belief in your abilities to help you accomplish your desired goal. Now, don't do this while operating a moving vehicle. In your mind, create your own movie theater. Imagine it now. Imagine the walls, the seats, the stage, the screen. Put yourself in the front row. Sit back, press the button, and start the movie. See yourself on the screen in vivid color, having already accomplished your goal. Being able to consistently reach your peak performance. Watch yourself enjoying the benefits of having reached your goal. Try to add as many details as possible now. Add emotions to the movie. Bring your friends and family here. What are they saying? How do they feel? I want you to rewind it and play it again. Believing is seeing and seeing is believing. Every time you want to feel a surge of motivation in your mind, slip into your own movie theater and just play it again. Now, if you need help with this, I invite you to visit myvisualization.com. At myvisualization.com, I coach you to finely tune your powers of visualization. But for right now, this will work. Use the theater that's in your mind. Use it to your advantage. Using the techniques that I've outlined in these modules, I'm sure that you can turn your life around and free yourself from financial stress and anxiety. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding life.